Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 143. The book of the Psalms, Psalm 143. A few weeks back, maybe a month or so back, on Wednesday night, we took a few weeks and actually went through this specific passage of Scripture, Psalm 143. And tonight, now that we have most of you back in with us, normally a lot of you are on Wednesday nights or with the Awana program, I want to encourage you tonight. And what I want to do with this passage of Scripture is encourage you in the context and in the backdrop of sometimes in life you can get overwhelmed. Amen? Sometimes in life you can get really overwhelmed. And the reason that is, there's a gamut as far as to the reasons that can cause you to being overwhelmed. Stresses of life, and then you add on top of that other things that are outside. Maybe you didn't choose to do it. It has nothing to do with you, but maybe the pressures from without, different trials, different situations, can honestly knock you off your feet and giving you a feeling, giving you a sense of hopelessness, giving you a sense of what do I do now and where do we go from here kind of thing. And that's what you find in the life of King David. He's on the run. Absalom is trying to kill him. And to be honest, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what another sunset may bring. And sometimes in life, that could be many times, that can be our plight as well. We don't know necessarily what the next phone call is going to bring. We don't know necessarily what the next doctor visit will bring. But one thing we do know is we serve a God. If you know Christ as your Savior, we serve a God and we have a Savior in Jesus that will absolutely walk with us every single step of the way on this journey called life. And it's a blessing having a Savior that loves us unconditionally. It's a blessing having a Savior that is with us on the mountaintops. We praise God and we shout to the highest when we're on the mountaintop. Amen? When we're spiritually up here, man, it's great. But sometimes we also are in valleys. God's children, and it has nothing to do with whether you're spiritual or not spiritual. It has everything to do with the premise of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ is molding us, and His desire for us is to make us look like the image of His Son, for us to reflect Jesus in our countenance. And oftentimes what He does is He allows us to come through valleys. He allows us to go through trials. He allows us to go through difficulty that will in turn make us better as believers in Jesus and make us better as far as our dependency on the Lord Jesus, but will also give Him glory. There's two sides to the coin of every trial. The one side is the side that is to give Him honor and glory. And the second side of the coin is the side that is for our good. Now, sometimes when we go through situations, and I'll just be honest with you, even in my own life, there's been times when I've gone through a trial and I've honestly sat back and thought, Lord Jesus, I don't really understand this. And I don't really understand, the old adage, why me? I've asked that before, and you say, I can't believe you would ask that. Well, maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but I know sometimes I'm a human, and I know many times in my life as a human being, just with life and the stresses of life, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed. It can leave you feeling, what do I do now? And that's really where we find David now. In Psalm 143, beginning in verse number 1, if you found your place in honor and reverence, please stand to the reading of God's word. David now is, he's on the run. He's on the run. He's running for his life. It's no doubt that many want him dead. And they're going to do everything in their power to see to it that he gets dead, that they kill him. But yet God oftentimes uses situations, and hear me for a minute. God very often uses trials and tribulations in our lives to turn us back to him. Amen? He uses them to turn us back to him and to turn our focus and turn our passion back to him and him being Lord of our life. So David writes in verse 1, he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness." And then notice what he says. "As those that have been long dead." I'm preaching on this subject. When you feel like a dead man walking. When you feel like a dead man walking. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, indeed, that he'll be our teacher and he'll be our guide. For it's in Christ's name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If somebody would turn the boiler off, I'd be grateful. Nobody's cold, are they? If you're cold, you need to go to the doctor tomorrow. Something's wrong. You got a circulation issue. Something's wrong. You say, "Yeah, well, you're fat." I know. Leave me alone. Quit making fun of me. But David, he feels, not like the Bible tells us there, he feels as those that have been long dead. Now, that's pretty despairing. That's a pretty desperate situation. He doesn't feel like the man who wrote a lot of these psalms. He doesn't feel like a man who wrote a lot of songs of joy and a lot of songs of victory in his life. This is a man that is now writing this from the anguish of his soul and from the sense of desperation as he's writing this passage of Scripture. Also keep in mind, and I may have told you this before, but understand, the guys are coming to escort me out of the building. Everything all right? Okay, we're good. Oh, they're going to turn the air on. Hey, what a friend we have in Jesus. You guys are my favorite church members this week. I want you to know. Air's perfect. Air works good just like that. What's that? No, you're good. You can leave them open. All right, we're going to vote. Ready? Baptist Church. Air conditioner or windows? 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 Air conditioner? Air conditioner. Air conditioner it is. The eyes have it. But we'll get some air going here for a minute. That, what's good about that, that'll make you not fall asleep on me. Well, I don't know. It'll take more than air conditioning to keep you from falling asleep. But David, he's writing this, and then here's something to understand. Now, and I don't know if you've heard this, but I've said this before. I know I've said this on Wednesday night. But I want you to think about this in the context of this portion of Scripture. The Psalms are the Jewish hymn book. So now let's put the backdrop and let's put all this together now. So David, he's wrote a portion of Scripture that they're going to sing, that the Jews would sing these psalms on their pilgrim journeys to the temple on their yearly pilgrimages. They're singing these. Now, here's what's fascinating to me about this. This was a psalm that David is someday, one of these days, going to be able to sing when God brings him through it, and others are going to be able to sing of how God brought him through this desperate time in his life. How God raised him up from this feelings of something dead on the inside. You know, often in life, and I've seen this and I've talked to people that have come through trial. I've had folks say to me something like this. I've had folks literally use these words when they've come through a trial. "Brother Tracy, it feels like there's something that has died on the inside. Something has died on the inside of me." And these are not lost people. These are born-again believers. So that's David in this passage. "I feel like a dead man walking. I feel like someone that has been dead for a long time." And he's now crying out to God. So what do? Do you succumb to the trial? Do you succumb to the pain? Do you succumb to the pressure of it and just abandon all of the, as far as your faith, and walk away from God and walk away from the Lord's house? Or do you do what you know to do, and that is turn to God, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't understand it, we must remember to always turn to God. You say, preacher, you said even when we don't feel like it? Yes, I said that. But here's something else I know about our feelings. Here's what I know about emotion. Be very careful putting a lot of stock in your feeling and emotion, because they can change with a whim. They can change with a phone call. They can change. Well, you know, almost like, you know, as the wind blows dust across the ground, that's often how our lives can change. They can change in an instant. And if we build our life around always emotion, and we want to live in that sense of that always that emotional high, ladies and gentlemen, it won't be long till God takes a pen and bursts our bubble of that emotional high. And the reason he does that, you know, it reminds you of the story in the New Testament when Jesus had sent the 70 disciples out. Remember when he sent them out and he told them to go into the cities and, you know, and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And if they don't listen to you, you shake the dust off your feet and you go. And you remember that story? Well, at the latter part of that story, they come back. And man, they're excited. And they're telling God, they're like, man, Lord, what an awesome experience. You know, God, they tell Jesus, even the demons are subject unto us. And what did Jesus say to them? Now, you can imagine the emotional thrill that would have happened when there with that kind of a ministry. And you can imagine the exhilaration that and the emotional high that they must have been on. So they come back and they tell Jesus, man, what an awesome experience. Even the demons are subject unto us. And Jesus said, ho. He said, in this rejoice not. But one thing you can rejoice in, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it in a nutshell. Rejoice, even in the midst of your trial, if you're born again, your name is written in heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul said, we are citizens of another country. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our literally, you know, I've teased you, that I've told you this before. The next time you pull up to the check line there at the custom line, when if you go over to Canada or maybe going across to Mexico, I don't encourage you to do that. But maybe let's say you do. Next time you pull up and they ask you declared citizenship, next time they do that, say heaven. Try that. You know what's the next thing going to happen? They're going to say, pull over on the side here, sir, for a minute and get out of your car with your hands up, and they're going to put you in a straitjacket because they don't understand it. But the point is, if you know Jesus, we belong to another country. We belong to another place. Heaven is our home. Now, we may not be there now, but ladies and gentlemen, if you're born again, on the authority of Scripture, you're as good as there. You can mark it down. You can take it to the bank that you're going to heaven someday when you die, or you're taken in the rapture. But David is going to give us some thoughts of how to get out of this. How do you get out of the feeling of being a dead man walking? In verse 4, he says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. In Psalm 142, verse 3, he says a similar statement. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Psalm 142:3. Then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. David, he's overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed by definition means to overcome completely in mind or feeling. To overpower. Here's how you know when you're overwhelmed with something. It means to overpower the thoughts, the emotions, or senses of. It means to submerge over, to surge over and submerge like a wave. I told this story a few weeks back on a Wednesday night when my wife and I, and we went to Hawaii with the Shears one year, about 10 years ago or so, and
And Mike and I, we were at this little beach, and waves are coming in, and I don't know what they call that thing, buggy board or whatever that is. Well, Mike told me, he had prepared me for this. He said, "Preacher," he said, "when you see the waves coming in," he said, "whatever you do, don't try to jump over them." He said, "You may think you can, you're tall," he said, "but don't try to jump over them." And I never will forget this. He said, "Jump through them, go through them, dive right through them." He said, "The wave will go over and you'll pop up on the other side." I said, "All right, I got this." You know what happened, right? Waves come in, and Mike says, "Okay, preacher, here comes a big one." That thing had to be 40 stories tall. At least that's better preaching when you use stuff like that. No, it's probably, I'm 6 foot-ish, 3 or 4. It had to be 8 foot tall, and here it come. And I decided, measuring it up, I'm going to jump over this. Have any of you seen my vertical? Or let me rephrase that. Have any of you seen the lack of vertical in the preacher? I've got at least a 3-inch vertical. At least. And so I decided I'm going to jump over this wave. Well, you know what happened? I didn't make it. And that wave so engulfed me, it engulfed my entire body. It, no joke, it barrel rolled me out onto the ground, onto the beach. And one arm's this way, one arm's that way. I mean, my legs are scraped up, my arms are scraped up as that wave, when it hit me. You know what waves do? It didn't just hit me, it hit me and took me straight to the bottom and scraped me up. It was terrible. It was awful. But here's what I learned. Listen to somebody that has lived in Hawaii for 10 years. Mike had lived there for 10 years or so. And you need to listen to somebody when they tell you, don't go over them, go through them. And in the context of this passage of Scripture, here's what you're going to learn. When it comes to trials, you won't be able to jump over them. God didn't design you, and God didn't design me to jump over the trial. God designed us with His grace and mercy and His presence to go through them. And here's what we learn. When you go through them, you pop out on the other side, and He's still with you. It's a scary event. It's a scary thought. But here's David. He's overwhelmed in this trial. So what do you do when you feel like a dead man walking? Well, first of all, let me give you some thoughts out of this portion of Scripture. You have to understand, you have to have, number one, you have to have an awareness. An awareness. You say, what do you mean? Well, we see that in the first 4 or 5 verses. David, he's going to have, he has an awareness as to where he's at. He understands that he belongs to Jesus, and because he belongs to Jesus, and this may not seem like a big deal, but it's worth remembering, because you belong, if you're born again, because you belong to Jesus Christ, you, my friend, are never alone. Even when you feel like you are, you're never alone. Overwhelmed. My spirit within me, I'm overwhelmed. I feel like somebody that's been dead for a very long time. I mean, not just dead. He's been dead for a while. That's the way he feels. That's the way, that's what's going on in his life. That's what I love about God's Word. God's Word, God gives us pictures and describes people, great heroes of the faith. And that's what David was, in my estimation. He's a great hero of the faith. And one thing I love about the Lord is God gives us the portrait of our heroes, bumps and all. He doesn't just give us our heroes when they're on the mountaintop killing Goliath and, you know, killing the lion and killing a bear. He gives us our heroes even when they're hiding in a cave running for their life. And that's what David was going on. But David now, he has an awareness as to where he is. He understands where he is. We see this in the first 4 verses. So he cries out to God. He cries out in prayer to God, and he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." But he doesn't cry for his own merit. He doesn't cry and say, "Because of how good of a servant I've been for you, Lord, remember me." No, he calls and he cries out on the attributes of Almighty God when he says, "In thy faithfulness, answer me." God's a God that's faithful.
David knew that. David understood it. David had a relationship with the Savior, and he had been serving him for many, many, many years of his life. And now he's in a valley experience. He feels like he's dead. He feels like there's no spirit within him. He feels like God, if you'll allow me, he feels like God perhaps is a million miles away. But here's what we must understand as a believer in Jesus. He's not a million miles away. One prayer brings you into his presence. Amen? You may feel, and that's what you have to understand, you may feel like he's a million miles away. But friend, on the authority of the Bible, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a high priest, like the Bible says in Hebrews, who was in all points tempted. But here's the difference between us and God. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin one time. And because of that, he's our high priest that is now passed into the heavens. He sat down in the right hand of God the Father, and the Bible declares he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So David has an awareness. He understands where he is. He understands that God has not left him alone. So he cries out for God to hear his prayer based on two things, the faithfulness of God and based on the righteousness of God. You see that in verse 1. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, answer me. That's what he's asking God to do. God, because you're a faithful God, Lord, please answer me. God, because you're a faithful God and you're a righteous God, please answer me. Verse 2, enter not into thy judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. David understands theology. He understands salvation. He understands that no man is justified in the sight of God by his own merit and by his own good deeds or by his own good works. He's only justified when he repents of his sin and places his faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. God saves him, believing his death, burial, and resurrection. God saves him, and the moment you get born again, God, through his power and grace, imparts the righteousness, imputes the righteousness of Jesus into your life, and because of that, you're justified that very moment. And David cries out for God to hear his prayer based on his faithfulness, based on his righteousness. There's an awareness here. There's not only you have to have an awareness, but second of all, you have to have remembrance. There's a sense of remembrance in this passage. There's an awareness. He understands who he is, but he also understands who God is. There's an awareness of that. When you go through a trial, and if it's any indication, chances are there's a good possibility that you may come through trials where you feel like a dead man. If it's any indication of former saints of old, of great dear saints of God, even part of this church family, and even friends and dear friends that love Jesus that are friends of my life, they've come through situations like that. Enter verse 2, enter into thy judgment. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man be justified. Then he tells God what's going on in his life. He has an awareness of this battle. He has an awareness of this spiritual battle that's going on. He said, the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Now what's the significance here? He's in darkness, but dark, listen, darkness is no place for a child of God. We're to walk in the light of Jesus. He's called us out of darkness. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, he's translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. We don't belong in darkness. And yet David says, I feel like a man that's in darkness. The enemy has caused all this. So there's an awareness, but secondly, there's a remembrance. Look at verse 4. Therefore, because of what he's already stated, is my spirit overwhelmed within me. And then notice what he says. My heart within me is desolate. Wow. It's a desperate believer right there, ladies and gentlemen. He's a desperate individual. His heart is like a barren land, desolate, no life. That's what he means. There's no life. What used to be thrill, what used to be jubilation is gone. His song in the night is gone. And all he has is an awareness of who God is, an awareness of where he is, and an awareness of what he's going through. So in that, he turns to remembrance. Desolate, pictures of man, a totally broken man. He's broken in soul, he's broken in spirit, he's broken in life, he's broken in heart. So what can he do? He has to have a remembrance in verse 5. I remember the days of old. I love that verse. I remember the days of old. Now for David, what kind of days were those? Maybe the days of when he was a young lad watching his father's sheep, and how a lion came and David, through the power of God on his life, killed the lion. How a bear came, tried to kill the sheep. David kills the bear. The days of old, when he's standing there in the camp of the Israelite soldiers, and there's Saul, the man, the general, if you will, the king who's leading the charge, but yet he's scared and he's nervous. Here is a man who's head and shoulders above every man in that camp, and yet he's scared because of the enemy. And David, remember what little David said? He said, hey, who is this uncircumcised Philistine down there that defies the armies of the living God? He said, something needs to be done to him. Matter of fact, somebody needs to take care of it. Matter of fact, I'll do it. I'll kill him. He's going to be just like that lion and bear. So David remembers in verse 5, he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse, verse 5. I muse, ponder on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Can you picture him? His awareness has now turned him to remembrance. He now has kind of he's understanding that this doesn't have to be the final chapter. The only way that'll be the final chapter, if God allows it to be the final chapter of his life. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way that your feeling of deadness, the only way that'll be a final chapter is if God allows it to be a final chapter. But here's the good news. As long as you have breath in your body, it doesn't have to be the final chapter. You can turn back to the Lord. Now, so what do we do when we come through trial? What do we do when we come through severe trial in our life? Well, we better take a good look at ourselves. Sometimes trials come because we're out of God's fellowship. Amen? We're out of fellowship with the Lord. And God very lovingly disciplines us to bring us back into fellowship. And he often uses trials to do that. Let me illustrate it from the Bible. A man by the name of Jonah. Remember Jonah? But God loved him too much to allow him to go his own way. He brings him back, lovingly brings him back. And Jonah eventually goes to where God wants him to go in the first place. So here's David. He's starting to ponder on all the works of God in his life. He's starting to remember what God has done for him. What a tremendous blessing memory is. On Wednesday nights, we've been dealing with some things in the life of Elijah and Elisha. And this Wednesday night, we'll cover a couple more thoughts about him. But one of the key things is memory. Elijah's taken Elisha down memory lane and taken him to several places in his life. And one of the greatest things about memory is if you allow yourself to go back in your mind and just remember of what God has done for you, that'll help you. That'll put spirit back in you, man. That'll put life back in you. When you feel like a dead man walking, go back in your mind and just remember what God has done in your life. Because here's what can happen in life. There's a lot of people that want to speak into our lives. A lot of people want to. A lot of people want to tell you all kinds of things. But here's what I've learned in my life as a Christian. Not everybody's words are worthy to speak into your life. You say, what do you mean by that? A lot of people are negative. There's a lot of people that always look at the negative side as opposed to what God can do in a situation. So David now, he understands he needs to get back to the Lord, and he needs to focus his attention and his memory back on what God's done for him. God has been with David for years and years, and God has provided and God has protected him. God's protected him, and that's a simple principle. God protected him out of the hand of the lion. He protected him out of the hand of the bear. He protected him out of the hand of Goliath. God protected David. And David says, I remember God. I meditate. I'm chewing. I'm pondering on all that you've done for me. So God, look at verse 6. He says, I stretch forth my hands. Can you now see it? I mean, God is slowly raising him up. God is slowly resurrecting David and bringing him back to life. So David now, he says, I feel like somebody that's been dead for a long time to now that somebody who starts pondering on what God has done in his life over the years. And David now lifts his hands and say, God, I stretch forth my hands unto you. I'm like a land. I'm like a dry and thirsty land. God, I need you to move. I need you to pour into my life once again. And notice the word, the last word in verse 6, Selah. The word Selah was a musical, it's a musical pause. And they all the Jewish writers would often write, and they would write a portion of scripture. And David was great about it. He would write a portion of scripture, and then he would get so overwhelmed with what God just allowed in the pen that he would put Selah. And that was kind of a pause, pause in the journey. And literally it wanted the reader to stop and just meditate on what has just been stated. Meditate and chew on that musical pause. You know, we got to stop for a minute. We got to think about. You know, it is as if David is saying, hey, the verses that we've just sung, we better stop and think about them every now and then. Because if we're not careful, we can get so used to singing them that they don't have any meaning any longer. But David says, don't get like that. Stop and listen. Stop and focus. Stop and meditate on what God has done in your life. I'll tell you what, that's what I love about Brother Stephen. Brother Stephen will do that a lot of times. Brian will do that some on Wednesday nights when we sing songs. They'll just stop for a minute and just read the song, read the verse of the song to you. And man, when you hear it read to you, man, it just begins to, you think about it a little different. Oh, wow. You know, oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm too constrained to be. You know, songs like that. Songs like, here's one for you. You know, somebody called it the Baptist hymn song, the Baptist victory song. You know, amazing. Listen to the words of this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's sweet to our ears, isn't it? Great. There's something amazing. There's something sweet about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Ready for the rest of it? You know it, that saved the wretch. Oh, we were wretched, amen. We were lost and undone without God, without his son, when he reached down his hand for us. You know, how sweet it is, saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Wow. David says, Selah. Stop and think about that. Stop and think, as I lift my hands to the Lord, there's an awareness, there's a remembrance. But then also there's a readiness in these verses of Scripture. You see, David, just like David, sometimes we can allow our expectancy to expire. You know, don't ever give up your expectancy when it comes to God. You can expect God to do great things in your life. Amen? You can expect him to show up in the midst of your turmoil and to show up in the midst of your storm and speak into that situation. Sometimes he calms the storm, but other times he calms his child. Amen? Sometimes he'll make the waves lie down, but other times he'll speak into the heart of his child that is going through the midst of the storm. He doesn't remove him from the storm, but he calms him in the midst of the storm. May that be our prayer, Lord. May it be our prayer, God. May you calm your child in the midst of this. And we pray that he will. There's a readiness. And this involves his focus in verse 7 and following. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy faith from me, thy face from me. Aren't you thankful that Jesus doesn't hide his face from us? Now let me expound on this for a minute.
I've said to you for many, many months that God's love for us is not based on our performance. And it isn't based on our performance. And David is saying, Lord, hide not your face from me. You know, as a father, there's something special about being able to look at your children. And even when they don't do necessarily what they're supposed to do, it's still a joy to be able to see them. It's still a joy to be able to know that you're their father. It's still a joy to know that, ready for this? And I want my kids to hear this. It's still a joy as a father, and I hope my kids understand this, because I think this is the principle David is trying to get out. That even if we mess up, our Father still loves us. Even when we don't do what we're supposed to do, our Father still loves us. Wow. What a concept, amen? I'm like a dry and thirsty landlord. My soul faileth, my spirit faileth within me. Hear me. Hide not thy face, verse 7, from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. David now is crying out to God to give him direction. Boy, that's a great prayer. God, please give me direction in this situation. There's many times in life, there's been times in my life, that I've honestly had to get alone with the Lord and just talk to Him like I'm talking to you. And one of the prayers is often, Lord, God, please give me direction. God, please give me wisdom in this situation. I've often prayed, I've even said this, not sounding, God knows my heart, not sounding arrogant, but I've often also prayed, Lord, please don't let me waste this trial. I've prayed that prayer before with tears rolling down my face, because the trial was overwhelming. But yet God is a God that has a way of taking a trial and getting glory through it. Calls me to know, verse 8, the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art, look at this, personal. Thou art my God. Amen. If you're born again, you could say the same thing. Thou art my God. Even when I'm running for my life, Lord, you're still my God. Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord. So in verse 3, he uses an illustration of like a dead man. In verse number 11, he's asking God to quicken him. Quicken means to be made alive. Make me alive again, verse 11. Revive me would be a good word for that. Revive me, quicken me, O Lord. And here's why. For thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Wow. What a psalm. Amen? What a psalm. Can you imagine the Jews as they would make their pilgrim journeys back to the temple every year? And maybe one little boy says to his dad, hey, daddy, what are we going to sing? What are we going to sing this year? What are we going to sing about this year? Oh, you know what, son? Here's what we're going to sing about. We're going to sing about the goodness of God, and we're going to sing about the goodness of God in the life of King David. Oh, I love King David. I could hear the little boy say, I love King David. Daddy, are you going to tell us about him killing Goliath? No, no, no. Are you going to? Are we going to sing songs of, like he killed Goliath and the bear and the lion? No, no, no. We're going to sing a song of God's grace and mercy in his life in the midst of a time in his life that he's running for his life. He's hiding out, you know, from his son who's wanting to kill him. Well, Daddy, how are we going to sing? Oh, we're going to sing because we're going to shout and we're going to sing because God did not leave David alone. God helped him and God watched over him and God took care of him even in the midst of the trouble, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of, listen, even in the midst of his emotional bankruptcy, God speaks into his life. And I could hear them and I can see them as they're singing those songs of deliverance and singing those songs, psalms, as they make their journey back to that temple to worship their Lord. And in the context of our lives, where are you at tonight? Where are you at? You say, preacher, I'm not in a trial. Thank God that you're not. Amen. Thank the Lord that you're not. But I hope and pray that you'll put this in the back of your mind and you'll register this passage in your heart, that when you do go through a trial and you do get overwhelmed, please understand you're not the first one to ever go through a trial. And honestly, it won't be the last time you go through a trial, because God's using them to bring glory to him, but also bring the best out, his best out in our lives.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.